Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, Sairam from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. And today is March 19th, 2015. And this is the last month of the academic year, the academic calendar. So you have students from different classes of the school and the university offering their programs of gratitude to Bhagwan. These gratitude programs is a tradition being followed from so many years, wherein students take the opportunity in the last days of their academic year, especially the graduating batches, the final year postgraduate students, the final year undergraduate students, the 12th class students, the 10th grade students, they offer their gratitude to Swami for gifting them with so many blessings, not just free education, but shaping them into individuals who can not only discriminate between the good and not so good and not at all good, who can not only do this discrimination clearly, but also have the strength, the determination and the faith to follow the path that their conscience says is right. That is the gift that Bhagwan gives to the young minds who join here. And today you had the postgraduate students offering their grateful hearts to Bhagwan. And every time you watch such programs, you are always filled with so much joy, so much hope, so much of optimism, isn't it? Because you see so many young minds and hearts so beautifully being shaped into enlightened citizens. And when you witness such scenarios, you always feel, yes, yes, the golden age is here. Yes, who says that we are not going to have a world of peace if there is an army of such nature, if there is an army who can think like this? Very soon we will have a world which is a much, much better place. And dear listeners, yes, we are going to have a world which is a much, much, much better place. The 90th birthday year has begun, and this is the year which will herald plenty of good. This is the year for us to feel joyous. This is the year where we celebrate the Lord. This is the year when we celebrate and relish and welcome and herald the world of peace, the world of joy. It is a moment of celebration, a moment of jubilation, of joyous inspiration. It is 90 glorious years of Satya Sam. 90 glorious years of pure love penetrating a million souls in a million ways. The Radio Sai team humbly bows down at his lotus feet in this landmark year of his divine advent. So everywhere, this is the 90th year, and you have functions, you have events being observed to celebrate this magnificent year. And some of these events and functions are very, very significant, because it is these events which are not only heralding the new age, but also actually positively contributing to the incoming era of peace. And one such event is the Atirudra Mahayagnam. And in the last few Thursday lives, we have been discussing about this magnificent prayer for world peace, this worship, the highest worship of Shiva for highest good. And the last more than three Thursdays, we have been discussing about this grand sacrifice, and still there is so much to it. In fact, I am tempted to continue this discussion on Atirudra Mahayagnam, because I feel this is something, as I mentioned, which will not only herald, but which is actually contributing to the new age. So today we will go into more dimensions of this discussion. We will have first a live conversation with Brother Deepak Anand from the university, a faculty member from the Department of Management Studies. And then after that, I'm going to play for you excerpts of conversations that we had with some of the Ritviks, some of the priests who were conducting this yajnam in Vrindavan. And these priests, some of them so eloquent, they are actually professionals in different industries, and many of them from the US, but just for this period of the Atirudra Mahayajnam, they donned the robe of priest and they led a very strict life according to all Vedic injunctions. And when you hear them, it is very enlightening. When you hear their experience, why they do this, and the impact it has had on them, and how in different ways they have been able to take this Atirudra, not only internalize it, but also take it to different parts of the world, and how Bhagwan is guiding them so amazingly, and the insights that they have shared, it's really beautiful. So we will listen to some excerpts of that, but before that, we will have a live conversation with Brother Deepak Anand. So that is what is in store for you on this last segment of Thursday Life, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio City.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. And as I just mentioned, today we continue our discussion on Atirudra Mahayajnam, the magnificent prayer for world peace. And we have Brother Deepak Anand, who is a faculty member, a former student, and blessed to continue to live in Prashantini by Bhagwan's grace as a faculty member in the Department of Management Studies. And Brother Deepak Anand was someone who had the chance to be in Vrindavan and witness and participate in the Atirudra Mahayajnam. And so let's listen to what has been his experience. So welcome, brother, to Outside Inside, Deep Inside.
Thank you very much, Bishop. I'm very privileged to be here today.
So tell us the first question. How did it feel being there in Vrindavan, in Bhagwan's abode in Bangalore, and being part of the Atirudra Mahayajnam?
Yeah, I think, Bishop, it was a wonderful experience, because it brought to my mind many of the, you know, live conversations with Bhagwan that I have had. And if I can recall one or two, you know, as I was sitting there in that beautiful arranged arena, and so many priests, including, as you said, some of our students themselves were part of the Ritviks.
Yes, that's what I heard. There were two, three students who had become Ritviks.
Yes, I met them.
And oh, you met them?
I met them. I had a word with them.
Oh, wow.
I congratulated them. I was so glad that they were a part of this sacred yajna which was being held there. And I think the feeling was amazing. In fact, Bhagwan many a times used to tell us that I only create the right circumstances for the good attitude and love for God to blossom in your own heart.
Hmm.
Once there was a program going on, and Swami, we were in the interview room, and the program was going on outside, and Swami went there and came back and said, "See, these girls from primary school, whom I do not even interact much with, they have much greater devotion than you have, though I interact with you on a daily basis."
Hmm.
So I was alarmed. I thought I was a good devotee. And I said, "Swami, if I do not have that good devotion as you expect me to have, Swami, grant me that devotion." And then Swami said, immediately, you know, he went a step back and said, "That is not my responsibility, sir."
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, "I created the entire organization. I created the feeling of love in all of you, so that devotion can be passed on from one devotee to the other."
Oh, okay.
It is the responsibility of one devotee to pass on and create the...
To positively infect.
Infect and influence.
Influence.
And inculcate.
Yes.
And blossom. The devotion in the other's devotee's hand. And by giving us these hints, like Atrutra Mahayagyam, by collective bhajans, chanting of the Vedam on a daily basis, bhajans in the family, in Nagar Sankirtanams, in the samitis, Swami is just creating the right environment for us so that that love which is already innate in our own hearts can blossom forth and we can truly become the devotees of Bhagwan.
This educare is happening not only for students but for every single person.
Every single person. Yes. Across the globe.
Across the globe. Amazing.
Foreigners are chanting Rudram sometimes much better than probably we are chanting.
In fact, I remember certain occasions when Rudram chanting started in Mandir and you thought it was the students chanting or some devotees from a state of India chanting, you go and see there are Croatians sitting and chanting. and you didn't make out, if you had not seen their faces, would have thought that it is Indians chanting.
Yeah. So quite envious of these devotees who have taken Swami's instruction to heart in the right spirit and implementing that in their lives. I think we should look up to them as examples. Vishu, other thing that, you know, I was, when I was part of this beautiful yagyam and I was sitting there, on some occasion Swami was discussing with us and the question came about free will and God's will. And that is, you know, one area where always there is little confusion about, is it God's will, is it our will, is it free will or not. Swami asked me, how was your examination today? I said, Swami, you know it. I said, yes. You were too worried about will you be taken to Kodaikanal or not this year. And that is why you finished the examination half an hour early and you came and sat in the front.
Oh my God.
And Swami said, see. Then Swami asked me, tell me what is free will. Swami, there is no free will. Only you have got free will. Swami said, yes, that is a correct answer. In this lifetime, you do not have free will except of true devotion and the right attitude.
Oh.
That is your free will. And Swami said, I only come to correct that, to inculcate the true love for God in your heart and to inculcate the right attitude in your mind. And I think when we are sitting in such kind of environment, when we are talking that, okay, Rudra is everything. He is in the commander of the armies, he is in the thief also, he is in the police also, he's in every aspect. From the smallest of the grass to the giant Himalayas, everything he only is manifesting. That kind of attitude of oneness is probably makes us one with the reality, which is, not seen by us, which is hidden behind the veil of our own mind. So he wants to blossom that and bring it forth, open that window 2015.
Yes.
Which may not have been launched by Microsoft, but he wants to open that window and say, yes, look at the reality. That I only manifest behind every form, behind every circumstance of your life. Have that attitude and develop that love for God and surrender to Him. And then you also can realize your own innate divinity. I think that is the inner message that we should take, because we have only two things in our hands in this lifetime. True love for God and the right attitude in life.
Wow. And both are so linked.
So linked together.
Deva Priti, Papa Bhiti, Sanganiti.
Sanganiti.
And you feel it is these events which create that environment.
Environment. Create the environment.
The positive energy that emanates in these events goes towards creating the positive thoughts.
The positive thoughts. Because I recollect one small instance, Bishu, at this point in time. When my mother was alone in Delhi, father was already here. And I was, you know, held a letter for Swami. That, Swami, please call my mother also now to Parthi. She is living alone there with great difficulty. Swami looked at the letter from a distance and said, oh, Delhi letter. Oh, put the stamp and send to Delhi. I said, no, Swami, this is meant for you. And Swami said, you have a prayer? I said, yes, Swami, I have really a prayer for you. Swami said, where am I? I said, Swami, you are everywhere. He said, yes, I am everywhere, but I really manifest in the depths of your heart. So keep your prayer with me in the depths of your heart. And if you have to give me a letter or pray something, only say this, samasta lokaha sukhino bhavantu. Samasta lokaha sukhino bhavantu. And Swami said, because I am the samasta loka, when you say samasta lokaha sukhino bhavantu, I also reflect and resound, and the response comes, sukhino bhavantu, sukhino bhavantu.
Wow. It's the only prayer that we should be making at
any time. Making to God. is only that samasta lokaha sukhino bhavantu. Now he said, you are part of the universe, and for me to fulfill your desire in the heart, the universe must change for it to manifest. And then Swami said, does not mean that every prayer in your heart will be answered. Only if it leads to sukhino bhavantu, it will be answered.
And what is sukhino bhavantu for us? He knows it.
That is why after Chamukam, when we chant the Namakam, we ask God, give us this, but we are surrendered to you, so you give us what amongst all these is good for us.
Wow.
So it is such a beautiful remembrance of those beautiful experiences.
Amazing. It's really, I think this aspect of the only thing that we should be praying for is Samastha Loka Sukhino
Bhavantu.
I remember once Swami told Brother Venugopal, he was chanting Samastha Loka Sukhino Bhavantu, and Swami bent down and whispered in his ear and said, what is this chanting? When you chant this, there should be tears in your eyes. Means when you say that let there be peace, it should come from the depths of your heart,
yes.
You should really cry for everyone's happiness.
Yes.
Then
yes.
It is truly Samastha Loka Sukhino.
Absolutely. Because ultimately all these rituals, all these ceremonies.
And this Atirudra is done only for that.
To manifest that love. And let me again, remind myself what Swami had defined as true love. And Swami said, love is true love when it is 100% selfless, it is deep like the ocean, and expansive like the sky.
Wow.
Then it is true love.
Selfless, deep and expansive.
And that is the goal of our lives. Because in our heart that love is lying there as a potentiality. But our mind is looking at only narrow love for things, people, money, positions and relationships. It's divided into 1,000 pieces. If all that can be brought in through devotion to God, by seeing Him in everything, in every relation, doesn't mean that we have to go up into a forest or the Himalayas and leave our society. In our own circumstances, can we see the manifestation of that love in every relationship, in every circumstance, with every person we meet, with every gadget we use? Can we see the manifestation of God in that and experience love through it?
Wow.
Then, with the consonance of our mind and our heart, certainly, we'll realize our own divinities. That is the purpose.
Every little love that we have has to be sublimated.
Sublimated, yes.
Into deep, into expansive,
and selfless love.
Wow. Amazing. And a lot of people think of the Rudra as a very fierce form of Lord Shiva. But I don't know. I feel it's also a very benign form of Lord Shiva.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because form is given by humanity, by our mind, to that consciousness which is all pervading. It doesn't really have any form. In fact, once we were in Thrai, and one of the devotees asked Swami, "You like devotees to pray to you in the form aspect or the formless aspect?" And then Swami looked at him and said, "I think for you, thinking of God with form is better." Because we relate to everything in this world through name or form. But Swami says, don't worry. The formless God knows that you are praying to Him only through this particular form. So don't worry. He will give you the enough reward for your prayer through the form also. So when we look at all the ceremonies being performed there, all the abhishekams being done, all the decorations being done, what are basically we doing? Developing that strong love for God through all these rituals and saying, yes, I offer this to you. I see God in this particular stone also. If I can see God in stone, how it is that I will not be able to see God in the higher manifestations of creation? Stone is the most basic, the lowest, most manifestation of consciousness.
Wow.
And if I can raise that stone into God, then how it is possible that I do not see God in other higher manifestations of divinity and God in this world? Wow. That is a question we have to all ask ourselves.
Fantastic. I mean, every time we see a statue, I think this is the thing that we should be asking. If I'm able to see God in this stone,
right?
Can I see God in everything else?
That's
that starts from stone and goes up to God.
God.
The whole spectrum.
The whole spectrum. Like Rabindranath Tagore would always say that God sleeps in stone.
Yes.
God breathes in plant.
Yes.
God moves in animals.
Yes.
and God thinks in man. It's only a stage or a different levels of consciousness, but it's all God. So I take the lowermost and say, I raise you to God. And everything else becomes God automatically for us.
Wow.
That is the message, I think.
Amazing. There's so many lessons. You know, when you ruminate on these beautiful traditions that our ancients have given us, and we had Bhagwan as Vedodharaka, who actually brought back these. First, we need to do this, then we will try to understand and assimilate. So, you know, so Bhagwan did organized and encouraged the youth of Karnataka, and we had in 2006 here, and now we see that this is spreading. And I personally believe that we have no clue of what it does. We have no clue of how it is bringing changes. Apparently it's not visible, but it is doing, like, so many things are not visible to our eyes, but amazing things are happening. We don't know how all the organs in our body function, but they do amazing things.
Right.
I think similarly, you have, in amazing dimensions, you have such a grand sacrifice like this, do so much good to the world. So thank you so much, Brother Deepakanand, for taking your time off and sharing these snippets. I know you have, there is so much that you can share, and I hope and pray that we'll meet again and dwell on this beautiful insights that Bhagwan has given in the way that only He can give.
Right. Thank you, Vishu.
Yeah. So, dear listeners, so that was Brother Deepakanand, and as I mentioned, we had the opportunity during this Atirudra Mahayagnam in Vrindavan, that was from March 1st to March 12th, to also interact with some of the Ritviks, some of the priests, and what they shared is something very, very beautiful, very insightful. We had conversations with four of them, Mr. Shekhar Bidupalli, who also spoke on one evening during the Atirudra Mahayagnam. He's from Sacramento, California. And we had three others, Mr. Prabhakar from Bangalore, Mr. Raja Sharma from Atlanta, Georgia, and we had Mr. Raghuram from Bangalore, who is now working in California. And we had a Radio Sai volunteer, Mr. Naresh Sharma, who did the recording in the Vrindavan Ashram with these four Ritviks. So I'm going to play for you now clips from the conversation that we had with these four of them during the Atirudra Mahayagnam.
I'm Shekhar Bidupalli. I'm from Sacramento, California. And I've been living in the United States for roughly about 30 years now.
I'm Prabhakar. I'm from Bangalore.
I'm Raja Sharma from Atlanta, Georgia. I've been in the States for 35 years.
I'm Raghuram. I'm from Bangalore, but working in California currently.
Welcome to all of you. We are so grateful to you for speaking with us on Radio Sai. You are all not ordinary devotees, but Ritviks of this sacred yagna that's taking place. And it's a great privilege to have you come here and share your wisdom with us. So firstly, tell us, I understand this is not the first Atirudra that you have done. Could you tell us a brief history of your association with this wonderful yagna?
I think calling ourselves Ritviks is putting ourselves on a higher pedestal. I don't think we are here as Ritviks, but we are as devotees. And it is completely Bhagavan's grace and blessing that He gave us the opportunity to be part of that Yagasala and doing this Yajnam. So we are very grateful to Bhagavan for allowing us to be in His incredible omnipresence, which is felt so intense during this past 9 days we have been here. It has been simply phenomenal. I think, you know, the context of why I am here, or I think I will let them share what their perspective is. I am here because, you know, this Mahayagna is truly, truly for world peace. And peace first starts with ourselves. And so Rudram is a most powerful healing hymn at all levels of physical, metaphysical and spiritual levels. There is no prayer that at least I have come across that is so intense and so healing at so many levels. So I'll let Raja share why he is here as well.
For the same reason, I'll second that. that you see chanting Rudram, that an internal transformation very subtly happens, and it is subtle. And obviously that when something like world peace is mentioned, we are always there, because we believe in the Swami's message also, in that samasta loka sukhino bhavantu. So as we do other services also, but we feel that, you know, this is more important in the context of where we are and what we are trying to do. And so it also picks up. It's natural in here, India and Asia to do that, but on the other side, you know, for the Americas, it's something new. And so, you know, thanks to Swami and obviously to Shekhar, the message has been spread and it's spreading. And those devotees are really devoted devotees. And when they chant that, you know, they are very serious about it, you know, they perfect themselves and they believe in it, and then they do it. So that's the reason that why I'm here. And obviously it's a big boon for me to be here in Vrindavan, you know, trying to do that. And so this is a very happy occasion for us.
Saina, as you get used to my answer, I'm still climbing the steps. But what can you say? It's Vrindavan, and it's not to be missed. It's like, God, you're going to Vrindavan, this Atrita Mahayagnesi, you've got the opportunity of a lifetime, grab it before. Don't even think twice about it. So, and that's why. So, and of course, the rest of the things, with my wise association, I'm learning from these guys the rest of the things. But yeah, I'm here because it's Vrindavan and it's Swami.
Again, Swami's grace that I'm here, and probably you can say, of all the people, I'm the most, probably least qualified, disqualified. All I know is only Sri Rudram, that's all. And without Swami's grace, I wouldn't have been picked up as a, you know, a Rudrik. It's a lifetime opportunity. Of course, I participated in Atlanta at the Rudram. That was also Swami's grace, and, you know, it's all devotees. But here is mostly, you know, all the Rudriks who are trained Rudriks, and only probably four of us are not in the daily life, you know, taking that as a profession, but as a devotee is, you know, participating in this Atrita Mahayagna. And it's a wonderful feeling, and absolutely, you know, staying at Vrindavan itself is, you know, where Swami walked and lived and played with the students, and, you know, staying here for so many days, 12 days, is like a lifetime opportunity. And I just wanted to participate and, you know, enjoy that opportunity.
Prabhakar is actually very humble. What we do is chanting all the suktas and other things, but he does yajna every day. He and his wife Vaidehi are so incredibly dedicated to Swami's service. They are integral part of the Sai Geetanjali Seva program, and when they were in San Jose also, my God, I can't believe how much service they did for 83rd birthday of Swami. I'm now going back to our beginning of this journey of this Atrudram. For us in California, started way back for Swami's 83rd birthday. For Swami's 83rd birthday, as part of the centers, our Satya Sai Baba Center of Central San Jose, celebration of Swami's 83rd birthday, we did it for 83 days, every day, service, adoration and illumination, SAI. So the service aspect of it was, just around that time, there was depression in Bay Area, and there were hundreds of homeless people, and one of the emergency housing consortium, it was going to go belly up because they couldn't sustain the funding. So our center literally adapted this place for 83 days. And of course, after that 83 days, Raghuram and the youth are really sustaining that emergency housing consortium. And so for 83 days, every day, three meals were served to the homeless people at the shelter. And the day would start morning 5 o'clock with Suprabhatam, chanting Rudram, and every day chanting Rudram. And part of that adoration was that. And then it is this internalization of, you know, the aspect of illumination. Actually, when I submitted the proposal to Swami on August 8th of 2008, in Kulwanthal, Swami came and he looked at the proposal. And in the proposal, the last page said, concluding with 11 days of Atirudra Parayanam, Swami's 83rd birthday, Atirudra Parayanam. And Swami looked at and said, oh, okay, Parayanam, not Yajnam. Don't do Yajna in America because there is no material purity there. And chant, that is very good. And then I said, Swami, you have to come. He said, I will be there, I will come. And of course, Swami sent a Shirdi Sai Baba Murthy and a Lingam to California. And this was the first Atirudra Parayanam that we did. 11 days, concluding on Swami's birthday, 11 days of 121 people doing Ekadasi Rudra Parayanam for 11 days. In the presentation that I gave to Swami in the proposal, it said 11 to the power of 4 was written, because 121 times 121 is 11 to the power of 4. And then Swami looked at me and he smiled and said, no, no, 11 to the power of 5. When you do 11 to the power of 4, after that, in 11 seconds, I will be present in front of you. So it is 11 to the power of 5. And then he also said very beautifully, the 11 to the power of 5 is, there are 5 elements of the nature. And the 5 elements of the nature, each of them will have harmony after doing an Atirudra Parayanam. Because Rudra is nothing but the manifestation of all the 5 elements of the nature. As the earth element is called Sadyojata, as water he is Vamadeva, as fire he is Aghora, as wind he is Tatpurusha, and as space he is Ishana, and all the 5 heads put together, the Panchamukheshwara is the Mahadeva. That's why in Rudram it is said, Yo Rudro Agnav, Yo Apsu, Ya Oshadhishu, Yo Rudra Vivesha Bhuvana, Tasmai Rudra Yanamo Astu, the all-pervading Rudra that we salute to. So, when we did this beautiful Atirudra Parayanam, it was a phenomenal experience of all the devotees coming together and doing it, because it got really Swami's intensity and focus on the Rudram, if you look at it. Why did he emphasize so much on Rudram, and why was it rolled out literally to every part of the world? And that's something that we have to contemplate. And I'll pass it on to my brothers about share their own experience of chanting Rudram, and we'll come back to it.
So, the Atirudra Mittach uncle was mentioning. So when I did go there for the first time, we saw this flyer that was being posted that there's going to be an Atirudra Parayanam. And by then, like, you know, Swami had announced and all his students were learning, and our good friends at Radio Sai were broadcasting it, so we were all able to listen to it and learn from it. And then we were like, oh, good, that's like really exciting that something like this is happening here. You know, so close to home and it's so accessible. So the very first day we went, I hardly knew any Rudram by then, and we were just learning Anuvakam by Anuvakam, slowly by listening to the tutor and looking at the files on Radio Sai. But the thing was, the kind of passion and love with which people came together, and the energy that was created, and he's just saying 121, but we used to have about 200 to 225 people every day that would be chanting there. And this was an old temple. The priest there, he actually had some problems in the sense that after the temple had been opened, he was so open and he was so loving. And then he had just taken on almost everybody to actually have this temple opened. And now you would see like 200 people to 250 people coming there every day evening, chanting for 3 hours straight, filling the whole place with so much energy. And the youth themselves were able to work very closely with each other. They came together. So the transformation happened in more ways than one. I mean, invisibly or visibly in the elements, as uncle is saying, of course, as I said, climbing the steps portion. So then, but transformation happened right there in that place, wherein the devotees were connected more and more deeply to Swami. And then the people bonded with each other. There was a transformative process going on actually in the place itself. So it was brilliant, yeah.
For me, the learning started with actually a dream that I wanted to go to Kailash for almost 10 years. It was not due to lack of resources or time, but I just couldn't do it. I could go everywhere, but except that one, it just never happened. So the call never came. And so the longer it took, the more you want to go. So it's been really burning inside me. And then the call came through Swami only, actually. So I was in actually Chennai visiting some temples and came to Sai Brother, and we were doing a conference call, we were doing some service, trying to get some medicines to one of the ashrams in Thiruvannamalai. So in the call, there was some mention about Kailash, and so I picked up, I said, what is going on? He said, no, you know, there's a Sai group which is going to, you know, Kailash. And I said, I didn't go to Sai school, so I've been away for so long, although that Sai connection started in the 60s through my grandmother and mother. So I was very excited. They provided an introduction, I think my first email to Shekhar and Raghu, I think. And then there was a precondition that I needed, people need to be able to chant Rudra Mancham. So I said, oh my God, here's my chance. And then I said, now I can't do it, you know. Then I learned that we have 90 days. And so it was a very well-structured program. We used to get up 5 in the morning. For those in the East Coast, I'm from the East Coast and they were in the West Coast, so we had actually 2 sessions. So I started, although that I heard Rudram many, many times, you know, as a part of Vishnu Sahasranam Rudram and Purushottam and all that, and never learned. So Swami forced and gave a very tight deadline and said, you want to go to Kailash, you learn Rudram now. And so that was also, he created a scene where I had more time, my family was not around me, my children were not there, and you know, my spouse Priya was actually in Whitefield. So I was by myself, so Swami gave me enough time, there are no excuses, and so that's when I learned, you know, Rudram and Shamakam, and certainly that it's a part of me. And you know, the Shekhar was mentioning the other day that sometimes I get up in the night not realizing I'm chanting Rudram. This internalizes it, and that's what I mean by very subtle transformation. That, you know, we obviously, half education is always dangerous because you want meaning and all that, and you know, it's actually Paramacharya who said that is the reason why I think I didn't go that far, because when I thought I didn't know Sanskrit too, that, you know, you need to know the meaning. It's just a rational thinking. And Paramacharya said that first you learn Rudram, the meaning will come later, and certainly, although it has, as Shekhar has explained the other day, you know, there are several meanings. There's a literal meaning and then there's a internal meaning in there. But also the personal meaning is also in there, and I believe that. And so it may be interesting to know that I'm also a Vaishnavite. So I'm from Sri Rangam, so it's some of, you know, people are, they wonder about it, but certainly there's no difference at all in the sense, and the Shiva or Vishnu, Vishnu or Shiva, and that we know, anybody reads knows that. And so that's when I started, and so the journey is, you know, it continues. We just sit here and plan the next one, and that's how we do, and want to take it to, you know, wherever, you know, it'll go, and the Swami's grace, and you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience again.
Just Raja triggered a beautiful thought for me to share when he mentioned he's a Vaishnavite and he's chanting Rudram. In fact, he chants Ekadasi Rudram every day as a Vaishnavite. Yeah. And I'll let him share his experience going to Sabarimala. Let's not leave him on that, okay? But the context of the Shiva and the Vishnu, mythologically, there is a story that actually Vishnu is the greatest devotee of Shiva and Shiva is the greatest devotee of Vishnu. Only Shiva can explain who Vishnu is and only Vishnu can explain who Shiva is. Because when Mother Parvati asked what is the shortest way to chant the entire Vishnu Sahasranamam, it was Shiva who said, Ishvara Uvacha, Sri Rama Rama Rameti Rame Rame Mano Rame Sahasranama Tattulyam Rama Nama Varanane. So the story goes like that. When Vishnu was once worshipping Shiva with lotuses, and when he was doing the Ashtotra Shatanamavali for Shiva worshipping him, he fell short of 2 lotuses. And when he fell short of 2, it was Shiva's Leela that he wanted to see how devoted Vishnu was to him. And so for Vishnu, everything, his hands are lotuses, his feet are lotuses, Kararavindena Padaravindam Mukharavinde Vinivesheyantam Vatashyap Vatrasya Putelivasam Balam Mukundam Manasasmarami. So immediately his eyes are like lotuses. So Vishnu picks his eyes and offer to Shiva. And the moment he picks one eye and offers to Shiva, Shiva comes in front of him and he said, he gives his entire half body to Vishnu. And that's how the Channakeshava, the Shiva Vishnu Swarupa, came into the existence mythologically. What If you offer me one eye as a lotus, I will give half of my body to you. And he shared his body with Mother Parvati, and the only other person he shared his body with is the greatest devotee, Mahavishnu. So when he mentioned he's a Vaishnavite, I see in Raja half Vishnu and half Shiva. Prabhakar, you want to share your Rudram experience?
I am one of the hundreds of people who learned Rudram from Brother Shaikar. He is our guru, Vedan guru. No matter which geographical region, time zone, it could be midnight in Gulf. Once he was taking the class when he was traveling, and it was 12 in the night, and for us in California, I was in California before coming back to India. So he was having the classes, Rudram classes. So that committed, and then all of us learned from him. And then the first Atirudram Parayana was our opportunity to chant 11 days continuously. It's like a practice of all that we learned. Because we all first time in life, we were chanting Rudram, we were chanting Vedam actually. And that was a wonderful experience. And after that, every year that was going on. And I'm pretty sure that all these Atirudram Parayanas, whatever that we accumulated, really helped making our Kailash Yatra was such a effortless. We had, Brother Shaikar would have shared all the experiences, and it was absolutely effortless. People were surprised that we so easily did that Kailash Yatra. And that is again accumulated, because if you take really Kailash Yatra and Atirudra Mahayajnam held at Atlanta, these were mind-boggling activities. It is not simply, somebody can just get up and, let's do it kind of a thing. So our sadhana was just not 120 days before the event. Our sadhana started when Swami's 83rd birthday was. Several years we did the sadhana to make the Kailash Yatra so effortless, and gave us an opportunity to be part of the Atirudra Mahayajnam. Probably that kind of Atirudra Mahayajnam happened first time in US, and that was again because of all our Atirudra Parayanas and chanting Rudram. So incredible experience in not just this lifetime, I think several lifetimes experience. I don't remember, but obviously thousands of lifetimes grace and experience that we have been experiencing. And this is another opportunity that we have been really enjoying.
So the 83rd birthday was an interesting experience. When at that time I was the president of the Satsevava Center of Central San Jose. And when we announced the program that we'll be celebrating Swami's birthday with 83 days of SAI, a lot of devotees were wondering, and they asked, why 83rd birthday? Because Swami celebrates his birthdays in cycles of 5. So the next great birthday is 85, not 83. Why are we doing it for 83rd birthday? And then I had no answer for them. I said, simply the call came from within that we have to celebrate 83rd birthday. And amazing thing that Swami did. It was that year he announced that he appears in the moon. Remember that? And the other thing that happened was, that year actually Swami allowed for celebration of his birthday with a major yajnam, the Sahasra Chandra Darshana Yajnam. The reason for that is, it didn't strike to me when I announced in the center. But later on when Swami announced he will be seen in the moon, and that the Sahasra Chandra Darshanam program was announced, then it was like a lightning bolt. Oh my God, he is celebrating his 83rd Sahasra Chandra Darshanam, which is it's a unique event in the life of any individual, 83rd Sahasra Chandra Darshanam. And the context of the Sahasra Chandra Darshanam, seriously, when Swami said he will appear in the moon and everybody ran to see the moon, but for me, it was such a phenomenal thing that he declared. Let me explain to you why. Because Swami came in my dream and explained to me. Nenu moon lo kanapadtanante villandaru moon nu chuttani parigettaru, he said in Telugu. Because he was talking to me in my dream, by the way, not physically. So, but what he was saying is, because I said I will appear in the moon, they all ran to see the moon. But they forgot to know that their mind is the moon, Chandrama Manaso Jatara, that from this year onwards, Swami will be shining fully effulgent in the mind of every single devotee of his. And that is the Sahasra Chandra Darshanam. And Bhagavan is now taking over the mind of the individuals from that birthday onwards. And what a unique thing that we did. It was incredible to do Atirudra Parayanam, which is to heal the mind on his 83rd birthday celebration, concluding on his 83rd birthday celebration. It's sometimes you feel, you know, when the master is inside and he is impelling you to do things, you don't have any answers at the time when he is impelling you to do things. Then you put it back retrospectively and you say, that is grace. And thanks, Swami, that I didn't miss the opportunity to take up that event, because now I go back and look at that and say, how did that even that impulse came from inside? It is God who is impelling. Hey, nobody is celebrating my 83rd birthday. Satya Sai Baba of Central Chennai said, celebrated 83rd birthday with 83 days. And it's a phenomenal.
So that was Mr. Shekhar Bidupalli, one of the Ritviks of the Atirudra Mahayagnam, and they are sharing about how they have been doing this Rudram chanting and in US. And you had the others speak about the Atirudra Mahayagnam that they have done in the US in Atlanta. And in fact, there is much more to that story, and probably we will have the story of the Atirudra in Atlanta in the US by Sai devotees in future episodes of Atirudra Mahayagnam. But we will listen to one more clip before we draw the curtains on today's session of Outside Inside Deep Inside. One thing that Shekhar Bidupalli mentioned is the 83rd birthday celebrations, and which was a phenomenal celebration. Yes, generally the birthday celebrations which come every 5 years are grand occasions, but for reasons we do not know, the 83rd birthday celebration was one very grand occasion, and it was called the Sahasrapurna Chandra Darshanam. According to ancient Indian tradition, any individual who lives up to the ripe age of 83 is honored with this sacred ceremony called Sahasrapurna Chandra Darshanam. It means that that senior individual is a distinguished elder by the virtue of living long enough to witness 1,000 full moons. Now, how did this figure arrive? The simple arithmetic is, thanks to the waxing and waning of the moon, we see a full moon once every month. Therefore, in a year, one could watch 12 full moons. And if one lives for 83 years, he would watch 996 full moons. And this obviously is short of 1,000, but however, in reality it is not so, because the lunar month consists of 28 days and not the usual 30 or 31 days. So, since the moon takes 28 days to complete one cycle of revolution around the earth, according to the lunar calendar, we actually have more than 12 months in a year. And so the number of full moons too, in reality, are more than 1,000 in 83 years. So that is why a person who has lived through 83 summers and winters has actually been through over 1,000 full moons. And this is a tradition, Indian tradition, where you celebrate the birthday of someone who has reached the ripe age of 83. And we, in Prashantilayam, on the 83rd birthday of Bhagwan, you had this grand celebration, the highlight of which was Bhagwan coming on the golden chariot in the Hilvi Stadium. And it really was one of those spellbinding sights to behold the Lord on the Swarnaratham, delectably enthroned on that golden chariot being pulled by 7 horses, the glistening divine vehicle. Like some time back, we did a very detailed cover story on this on Hatwat, and you can read about the magnificence and the importance of this event. And so, interestingly, Mr. Shekhar Bidupalli also, in his center, though he was not aware of this, he had a grand celebration there. And when you reflect on it now, it's such a fulfilling experience. But the other thing that he mentioned about the moon and the mind, I think that is very, very significant, because where he's saying that when we say Bhagwan appears on the moon, what it means is Bhagwan is there shining effulgently in every mind, because the mind and the moon are completely related. The mind is born out of, the moon is born out of the mind. Chandrama manaso jata, the moon is born out of the mind. In fact, Mr. Shekhar Vedupalli explained more on this moon-mind connection and what it means in current times and how the Atirudra Mahayajnam helps in this moon-mind connection in relation to world peace.
The moon, the mind and the Rudram, right? And you see, when we do seva, generally the word seva is intended to serve the person physically. Giving clothing, giving food, giving shelter, and that is serving the body of an individual. In the context of the societies we live in, which is the Western society, people are generally okay in the context of shelter and clothing and food. But what is really missing is really the service to the mind of the people. And scientifically speaking, you know, people may say it is because of ability to measure more accurately now and all of that stuff, but I truly do believe that there is a higher incidence of neurological disorders in the Western part of the world. Over 49% of, you know, the youth and the children have neurological disorders like, you know, autism, bipolar, and depression and schizophrenia. So Swami, you know, is so incredible. After this Newtown incident, you know, in Newtown, there was a young kid that went and shot the children in the school, right? You remember that that happened a few years ago. Bhagwan, after that incident, of course, millions of people were shaken off by that incident. And I was very intensely praying to Swami, Swami, what happened here? I mean, who is this guy that did this? And Swami came in the dream. And he very simply said, even before it was announced publicly in the TV, Swami said it was a young man that went and shot these children. And you have to pray for the mind to heal the minds of the people. Until then we were doing all this Atirudra Parayanams only in California. That year actually we did 11 different, Swami said, form epicenters of Rudram chanting, of 11 people coming together and chanting Rudram in all over the world. So, and actually the Bangalore youth also coordinated along the same lines, you know, in Bangalore also it was done, they joined us in this. And why this is so important is, how does Rudram actually give the mind healing? That's something that we need to. The first anuvakam of Rudram is all about annihilation of the mind. And when I asked Swami in the dream, Swami, so why is it that children and youth are going through all these neurological disorders? What is going on? Then he said very beautifully, when the mind is seeking after what is constantly changing, along with what is changing, the mind is also changing. So if you're focused on stock market, which is going up and down, along with that your mind is also oscillating. And in a materialistic society where, you know, the most of the focus is around the external aspect, which is constantly changing, the mind is suffering. And then he said the power of the Rudram is that it helps you see the changeless in the changing. It was a beautiful statement, no? Seeing the changeless in the changing. And how does that actually, how does Rudram do that? Everything Rudram is describing is, of course, the first anuvakam is talking about the internal aspect of a human mind and the intellect and the integrity of the thought, word and the deed. That is what the first anuvakam is about. From the second anuvakam onwards, it is talking about everything that is external. Hiranyayacha, Prapathyayacha, Kigumsilayacha, Chayanayacha, all these things, that the mountains, the rivers, the rivulets, the twigs, the forests, the shrubs, the thickets and all this, and the boulders and the places where you can trod, places where you can trod, Pathyayacha, and where you can grow food, Krishtapachanchaya, Krishtapachanchaya, all these things that we are talking about, is everything around the world is changing, but the one connection point is that Namaha, Namaha, Namaha. That is why it is saying there is something that is the changeless in the changing. And that's how this inspiration for us to do the Atirudra Parayanam is really for that year we focused on. That was Swami's 88th birthday. We started on January 15th, Makara Sankranti, with 24 hours of continuous Rudra Parayanam in California, in a Mahakaleshwar temple. And it was actually 8 cycles of Ekadas Rudrams, which comes to 88 Rudrams chanted on Swami's 88th birthday year. So, and that is the significance of doing these Parayanams, really for me is healing the mind of the individuals, because, you know, strong body is first, of course, required. But a strong body and a strong mind, both are important for spiritual, you know, upliftment. So,
this is incredible, because we have been interviewing some young people here who are from Japan, who are from Slovakia, Ukraine, Russia. And it's incredible. All of them are saying that we have our Veda groups. We form a group of 11 and go to different cities in our place, because each is recognizing the problems their country is facing, whether it's Ukraine with its problem, Yugoslavia, and Japan has so many earthquakes happening, and they're going to different cities and now chanting Rudram. So this is something I had heard Swami say, that he is looking at this happening in the future, and this is actually happening. And you are saying that there's been a Atirudram which took place over there in Atlanta, as you said. So this is what I thought was a dream is coming true, and I somehow link this with the idea of the golden age that Swami said is coming forth soon. It somehow seems like Atirudra is clearing the way for it.
Absolutely. Actually, the golden age has started 135 years ago, and the human kind had to be prepared. And the starting point of the golden age is September 28, 1835. That's when the golden age started. And you're wondering what the date is, huh? Shirdi Sai birthday. That's when he started preparing the humankind. And, you know, it is absolutely, it is true that the golden age is happening. There is more and more light on the earth. And that is seen because when there is more light on the earth, then you are able to see everything clearly. And you will be able to bring out the problems clearly. So the social turmoils, what you are seeing in many of the nations, and what we are seeing as the so-called the negative side of the thing, is because the negative side is also now coming into focus because of more light, right? And in fact, the revolution of the social media, and how the social media is bringing together different nations, and how this one 16-year-old young lady from Pakistan, how she was able to, you know, uplift her society with postings in social media. That is a positive thing. So everywhere what we're seeing, this positive thing, and this Atirudra Mahayagnams, and Swami's 90th birthday, I am telling you, this is the infliction point of even more light coming onto earth. And
so that was Mr. Shekhar Bidupalli, one of the Ritviks of the Atirudra Mahayagnam that was held in Vrindavan. And so beautifully he explained to us how the Atirudra helps us to focus on the changeless and the connection between the moon and the mind. How the Atirudra chanting helps us to heal the mind, how it helps to refine the mind, how it helps individuals to focus their attention on the Eternal One. We will never know the different dimensions how the Atirudra Mahayagnam works and how it creates positive energy. And it's really so fascinating when you think about how the Vedam chanting has become a revolution, just like bhajan singing. And Bhagwan has ensured that The Rudram and the Bhajans continue in Prashanti Nilayam every single day, and now it is being disseminated to every corner of the world. You have Vedam groups in Europe. You have Atirudra that has happened in the US. And when we were talking to devotees from Croatia, they were saying, we are waiting when we can have an Atirudra being done there. And Bhagwan very clearly mentioned that the Vedas are universal. Just like the Professor Dikshit, who spearheaded and guided the Atirudra Mahayagnam, told, Bhagwan always maintained that the Vedas do not belong to one particular community. The Vedas are universal because it celebrates the all-pervasive nature. It celebrates God who is there in the microcosm to the macrocosm. And it is just a celebration of the Lord. It is a celebration of love. And when we focus all our attention on this changeless love, then we help humanity to focus on the changeless and move away from that which is changing. And it is today happening in such wonderful ways, and we will continue this discussion in the coming weeks. The same group of Ritviks, Mr. Sekhar Bedupalli, Prabhakar, Rajesh Sharma and Raghuram, they shared how Atirudra Mahayagna was conducted in Atlanta. It's a very beautiful story, which probably we will have it in the coming week. We will also listen to how Bhagwan guided him to do an Atirudra in Kailash, and how challenging it was and how thrilling it was. And there is much more coming up on Atirudra, and we hope to do sometime a very detailed cover story also on this, just to document all this with pictures and audios and videos on our website. And dear listeners, if you have had any experience of chanting the Rudram, if you have had any experience of witnessing the Atirudra Mahayagnam in the Divine Presence or in the Vrindavan that was held recently, please feel free to share your feedback, your comments and your experiences of chanting Rudram. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. We'll be very happy to collate all this and share with the wider world, so that we all contribute in our little ways to make the world a better place, so that we all contribute to Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu. Thank you so much for being with us all through the day. I'm Team Radio Sai's Vishu, and on behalf of all of us at Radio Sai, as we wind up our Thursday live programs, I take this opportunity to express our deepest sense of gratitude to Bhagwan for having given us this chance of serving Him, of loving Him. And before I wind up, I want to say my special thanks to our Radio Sai volunteer, Mr. Naresh Sharma, who took the trouble and recorded this conversation with the Ritviks in Vrindavan during the Atirudra Mahayagnam. So dear listeners, thank you so much, and as I sign off, you'll listen in a few moments from now at 9:50, a Telugu drama entitled Krishna Kuchelam, performed by the students of the Vrindavan campus on 5th September 2004 in the Divine Presence of Bhagwan. So keep listening, keep immersing yourself in Sai, and let's make the love of Sai our very breath. Thank you so much, and a sweet good night from Prashanthinilayam. Sai Ram.